Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
So I haven't preached here on a Sunday since I took over the young adults. Oh wow. There's like so many young adults in here. Guys. Oh wait. So I haven't preached since I took over the young adults. That was solicited, but that's okay. And I'm enjoying it so much. It is such a blessing to Crystal and I. Is this mic okay? Is it ringing on me? Sure? Yeah, we're good? Sorry. I like to give the sound man a hard time because I'm usually back there panicking when Matt gets up. But it's such a blessing just to take that over. I have a passion to meet people at a crossroads. It's something I'm very passionate about. Young adults they're at a crossroads. They're making decisions that are massive. They're looking for spouses. They're maybe entering into a college or university degree or some type of schooling. Maybe they're entering into a trade. These are massive crossroads, and it has just stirred up a passion in me for them, and for everyone in the house. You know, we actually hit crossroads on a daily basis. We just, society is actually trying to numb us to that. It is. It's throwing social media at us. It's throwing unlimited amounts of TV shows. I remember growing up and it was like Full House. And when I was feeling like edgy, I'd watch Friends. And then Seinfeld. And it was like, that was it. Now it's like endless. Like if you want a show on anything, you can just watch it. And so society is trying to numb us to this. And so we wake up in the morning and we get into this state of just, go through the emotions, do what I got to do, and blah, blah, blah. And it actually just numbs us to the fact that there is a destiny on each of our lives. See, the decisions you make on a daily basis, they're small steps to a bigger destiny. Come on, how many believe that? It's massive. See, the thing is most of us in this room, we think that, our fulfillment, our gifts, our passions, our callings, all these type of things are actually going to be, they're going to come to fruition through a job. That's what we usually think. It's hard, It's like, man, I want to get this job that's just going to fulfill all the callings on my life, that I can express this, I can express that, that my giftings will be fulfilled, all of this. And then we get that job and we're like, work sucks. Like, wait a second. I thought when I got this job that all of a sudden the stars were going to align and all fulfillment. And I woke up every morning super happy. That's real. See, your passions, your giftings, your callings, they can be fulfilled in many different ways. See, your gifting could your gifting could actually get you an occupation that would give you funds and give you money in which that you could actually function in your passion. And it could be vice versa. There's so many layers in which God actually wants to use you. Don't limit it to just an occupation. God wants to fulfill all of your passions, your desires. He wants to use your giftings, your anointings. It just might not be at your job. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And so on this journey with the young adults, I've been doing a Destiny series, and it's genuinely come from just a desire to move forward with even myself personally and take steps forward. And so just a theme verse that's been in my heart for the last few months is Jeremiah 29:11. And all of you know this verse. Most of you would know this verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. See, from a destiny. I was breaking down the thoughts of giftings, callings, passions, all of these different types of things in my mind, in my heart, checking myself. And through studying, I was, in the times I've sang this song too, it's one of my favorite songs right now, All Your Promises Are Yes and Amen. That is a great song. It just builds your hope, builds your faith, pushes you. And then I was like, okay, all of your promises are yes and amen, but I feel like there's a whole lot of promises that I'm actually not seeing in my life right now. And I began to wrestle that. It's like, okay, I got a destiny. I'm on a path. I'm doing this. I'm using my giftings, passions. I'm functioning when I believe is a calling. I'm so on and so on and so on. And then it's like, okay, but now, you know, in order for me to be fully effective, I need to tap into your promises. Second Corinthians 1:20 says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." Say in Christ. They are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. See, the promises are an outcome of a covenant. And we've gotten to a point in society in which we are not a covenantal people. You see, we're driven by emotions, and we get offended, we lose our commitment. When we don't see the results we want, we move on and move to something else. We look for those results. Our commitment has grown a little soft, but I think it's because we've lost covenant relationship. See, God's trying to bless your employment, but you're showing up late to work and giving minimal effort. God's trying to bless your marriage, but you're looking at pornography. God's trying to bless your finances, but you keep cheating on your taxes. You got to understand something. God can't bless those things. He can't. Because you're hurting one of his other kids in that moment. How can he bless that? See, a lot of times we look at God and we look at it as like this withholding God because we're not very, you know, we're being bad. Like we almost categorize him as Santa Claus. He has a naughty list. But the fact is that he can't bless it. He wants to. Even in that moment, he still wants to bless you, but he can't. There's a blessing to be had in covenant relationship. See, we live under the new covenant. What's the new covenant? That's Jesus coming down to earth. You know, God sending his son, he died on a cross for our sins, that we are made whole, that we are made righteousness through that work, through faith in him. That's the new covenant. We function under that covenant. But you have to understand something is that the new covenant with Jesus is a doorway to all the promises actually found in the rest of the Bible. There's some thoughts and some theological thoughts that are going on in the church today. I get the whole red letter Christian thing, but some of that has went so far to the point of where it's like, you know, they're reading the apostles and they're like, well, it's not Jesus talking. You know, they're reading the Old Testament like, well, these are just narratives. These are just stories. Like, we don't really build theology off of. It doesn't really affect us now because we're under the new covenant. So people have gotten to the point where it's like, I don't even need to read the apostles, really. That's not for me. I'm a red letter Christian. I'm about Jesus. The fact is, yes, he is the only way. But there's a whole lot of covenants in there in which our relationship with this new covenant under Jesus, we can actually access the rest of those covenants. Are you following me? You following me? Good. Yeah. Say this with me. We serve a covenant-making God. See, a covenant is not a contract. You know, we have our cell phone contracts, which I think is one of the worst contracts. Yeah, I switched to an unknown brand, and I probably wasn't in the right you know, plan, and there was like a $300 bill, and it was, but I got some money back. So, but we look at our relationship with God, and we look at our relationship with even the church and even our spouses as contracts. See, contracts aren't covenant. Covenant is totally different than a contract. In a contract, one party is obligated to the terms. In a covenant, the terms are fueled by love for one another. It's a bond in which two or more people agree. A covenant is more relational than it is legal. It accesses the heart from one party to another. See, a contract will keep me from cheating on my wife, but a covenant will make me treat her like the princess that she is. That's the difference. See, a contract, your contract with your company will make you act a certain way, and if you're contract-minded, you will do the minimum, you will show up at 7:59, and you will do your work, and you'll leave at 4:01. That's contractual work. There's a covenant work where you actually show up early, you actually start thinking like your boss. You actually start caring about the profits of that company, even though you feel you don't get paid enough. That's covenant relationship. Are you following me?
Yes.
You follow me? Come on. See, covenant relationship takes you to the next level. So, I started a pickup hockey time with the guys here at the church, So I'm looking around, and it's actually pretty expensive, and I'm looking around, and I found this city arena. It's called Salt Fleet. Have you ever heard of Salt Fleet? Yeah, not too many people, unless you've grown up in this area. Well, it's like way kind of hidden back. You know, it's off the road. There's not many lights. It's a city arena. I kid you not, the ceiling's probably like, it's lower than this for an arena. The showers are, well, you look for things crawling around before you go in. And it's rough, but you know what? It's hockey. It smells like hockey. But so we started gathering a bunch of people together, and we got a ton of people, and it started becoming just this awesome time for guys just to get together, have fun, you know, just let out some energy, frustration. And some pastors from around the area started coming, and so one pastor came, and it was a horrible situation, but he actually got off the ice, and he started to have a heart attack, and it was pretty serious. And I'm in the shower, and I hear some screaming and stuff, and so I come running, and just a horrible sight. And so the son, we had already called 911, but he says, call 911. So I run out. I'm like, I'm not going to argue with him. I'll just call again. So I call again, and I'm like, they're like, well, sir, like, there's an ambulance on the way. Is there anything? And so I'm like, is there anything else I can do? Like, I just need to do something. And so she's like, why don't you just open the doors, prop open the doors, make sure there's a clear path. She's like, but also, is the building hard to see? And I'm like, yeah, it's this old building. It's a city. There's not like some big sign or anything. She's like, okay, well, make sure the ambulance sees it. So I'm like, okay. So I head out, open up the doors, prop open the doors, get to the end of the road. And I see the ambulance. Actually, I shouldn't say it was the end of the road. I was close to the end of the road, and the ambulance kind of takes the corner around, and I start running after it as hard as I can. And it's freezing out. And I'm in bare feet too. And so I'm trying to flag down the ambulance. And so they see me, they come back in, and they come in. And long story short, you know, he's okay, he's fine. He actually feels better than ever. His heart was actually just over the years starting to slow him down, and it's incredible, eh? The surgery, God just putting wisdom in doctors and stuff, and he feels better than ever. And so I get to the hospital, and I call up Pastor Matt, A, because he's friends with them. B, because technically it's a Lake Mount event. And I'm like, hey, you got to know this like went down. And so I'm telling him the story. And I get to the point where I'm running outside. And he goes, okay, John, wait, sorry. You were in the shower. And I have no idea what he's saying. I'm like, why are we talking about this? I'm like, you don't understand. This was dramatic. And he's like, no, no, no. You were in the shower and you went down the hall. So you were in a towel. I'm like, yeah. All of a sudden, it starts cluing in. Now, you can't even get around your washroom without, you know, when you do the little thing with your towel, without it getting a little loose. So he goes, what were you flagging them down with? I was like, a white towel. I'm not going to go any further because I'll get in trouble. But the point of that is this. I could have sat in that change room. I didn't even need to go into the next change room. I had insurance. We're legally obligated. All that type of thing. It's like I could have kind of just stood back and watched this thing happen. I could have. But the fact is that a contract is that person was covered. They're covered. Can you do, right? These things happen. See, a covenant is, I'm going to do whatever, whatever I can to help this situation. It's contract versus covenant. You good? Are you following me here? Okay, but let's focus. See, you understand something. There's a new covenant under Jesus. But there's more to be had. We could live on an island and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we'd make it to heaven. But there's something beyond that that needs to be attained. You can stay the way you are. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with even staying there. I'm just saying I want more. Do you want more? Do you want all the blessings that actually come with all these promises in which Jesus died on the cross so we can actually come in boldly and access these things? You follow me? So in the time that we have, I just want to hit on the Abrahamic covenant. Galatians 3:17-18 says this. What I mean is this. The law, introduced 430 years later, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God. What's the previously established covenant? That's the Abrahamic covenant. Where was I? Previously established by God. And thus for do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God, in his grace, gave it to Abraham through a promise. Promise is not a contract word. It's a covenant word. So there's three promises made to Abraham. One, if you're taking notes, was land. That land represented blessing and wealth. That's what it represented. Two was descendants. Let me read this. Genesis 15:5. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. See, descendants is a legacy. It's something beyond just living the life you live. You can make it through. You make it to heaven. You can make it into eternity. But if you want to live a legacy, you have to actually begin to tap into the promises and the covenants that are found all throughout the Bible. There's a legacy that you can leave. Come on. It's beyond just how I'm getting to heaven. Amen. Three. Through his offspring, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Through his seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Abraham, there's a seed in you that will bring you legacy, and all the nations of the world will be blessed. Abraham, there's a seed in you. Abraham, there's a seed in you. I really believe God's just trying to communicate to us today that there is a seed in you. Come on, there's a seed in you. There's something in you that if you plant in the ground, it will become way bigger than you ever expected. Come on, there's a seed in you. There's a seed in you. Someone needs to hear that. There's people in this room that are just going through life, just going through the emotions, just trying to make it through the day, trying to make it through work, trying to not get in an argument with our spouses or our kids. And it's like, no. See, if you get the bigger thinking, you start to realize that there's a seed in you. Things begin to change. There's a seed in you. You follow me? Sergio, there's a seed in you, buddy. There's a seed in you. You know it and I know it. Come on, there's a seed in you. There's a seed of innovation, of invention, business plans. There's seeds in your heart right now that are dramatically going to change the kingdom. Come on, mothers. There's a seed in you, like an actual seed of you, of a person. Come on. There's a seed in you. There might be a prime minister in you. Come on. I feel like the world's robbing motherhood right now. Man, one of the most powerful jobs on the face of the earth. There's a seed in you. Come on, maybe there's a doctor in you, a lawyer in you. Come on, there's kids that you steward, that you're just planting seeds that came from you, came from your seed. Are you following me here? Come on, this is real. We can't take life so just lightly. There's blessing. There's blessing to be had in which we impact our lives, our families, this community, this church. There's a blessing that is it's brought to us by Jesus, in which we can come in through this doorway and access all the promises in the Bible. Amen. It's good. Say that's good. Say it's really good. See, so many times that we ask God for the home, just figuratively speaking. And he's like, well, no, there's a seed in you. You plant that seed, you fertilize that seed, you water that seed. That seed turns into a tree. And then by your own imagination, by your own passion, you cut that tree down and you turn it into something amazing. You can build a home with a tree. That tree just starts dropping other seeds and turns into a forest. And you can take all that and you can make a whole neighborhood out of it. But I think sometimes in our life we're always asking for the thing, and God's like, I think God's way more about us walking in unity with him, not necessarily about, God, where do I do? Where do I go? We're so concerned about that we don't realize. He's like, okay, I've already told you what to do, and this Bible is full of things that you can do for me. When I was younger, we used to go on fishing trips, and we'd go out. My dad was a pastor, and you know, he probably made, I don't know, 15, 20 grand a year. So we would borrow someone's cottage for free. We'd get up there, borrow my grandpa's boat and we'd fish, mainly because we couldn't afford food. So we're like, let's go fishing, right? My dad's like, yeah, right? This is so fun. No, but I learned to love it. I loved it. But we would troll. We would troll at night, go fishing for pickerel or walleye, whatever you like to call it. Same fish. I don't know why it has two names, but whatever. Anyways, we would troll, and we would put out these rods out the back of the boat, and we'd just troll along the shore, and it's some of the best memories in that. But the fact is that my dad could have just brought me along for the ride. You know, oh, go sit at the front. These are my reels, and I'll tell you what, if you're really good, I'll let you, once we get one, I'll just hand the rod to you. You can pull in the fish, and I'll clean it. I'll take care of it. But the fact is, a father's heart isn't that way. A father's heart was, okay, son, okay, this is how a fishing reel works, okay? It works like this. I'm not just going to give you the fish. I want to show you how to fish. You can even use my tackle. Here's my tackle. Put on this lure. Trust me. Now hold that. Hold it steady. All of a sudden, a fish comes, and the joy that leaps into both of us, not because dad caught a fish and he just gave me the reel. It was like my fish. I was like, I just caught a fish. And he's like, yeah, you did. That's the seed. We just want the fish. God's like, no, let's walk together. Let me show you a few things. Let me show you something you can just use over and over. You don't need a word every time. You just use this. You can throw your rod out whenever you want. It's just a principle. Are you following me? This is huge. We also had dirt bikes growing up, and they were rough. I remember actually, my uncle lived in actually St. Catharines. This was a long time ago. We were in St. Catharines, and we lived in this townhome, and my mom was like, as we were visiting my uncle, we lived in a townhome back in Brantford. My mom's like, here, you know, take these, I think it was $300. He's like, go buy an air conditioning, because we're just sweating in our home back in Brantford, no air conditioning. And he comes back to the house, and he's got this look on his face, and he opens up my uncle's van, and there's two motorbikes in there. And my mom's like, oh my goodness. And he's like, this was an amazing deal. But for $300, this is the type of motorbikes that we had. Neither of them were running. I'm not joking. And so he's like, we can fix them. And so anyways, these things used to break down all the time. But there's two ways he could have handled that. He could have fixed it himself while I sat on the deck and said, Dad, is the motorcycle ready yet? Dad, when's it going to be done? I want to go for a ride. Seriously. I'm on vacation up here just doing nothing. A lot of parents are like, oh, Lord. Instead, he's like, come on down here. Let's fix this thing. Take off the carbs. What? I'm not mature enough to do that. No, seriously, take off the carbs. All right. I don't know how. Just look. Look at it. Oh, yeah, there's a screw there. I can take that off. Take it out. Okay, now you just do this. I'll tell you what, the fulfillment was me walking away, riding away with a healthy pride, knowing I fixed that motorbike with my dad. Sitting on a porch just waiting for dad to fix it. That's not covenant relationship. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's covenant relationship to be had. It's good. Genesis 14:17 says this. After Abraham returned from defeating Kedorlaomer, whatever. You know what? I even looked it up. I tried to pronounce it, and I just know, you know, son, that's what you got. I'm sorry. And the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom, came out to meet him in the valley of Sheba. That is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. I've heard that before. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abram, by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. You see, Melchizedek was a type of Christ. What does that mean? He was something that brought revelation of the king to come, the high priest to come. Some theologians believe Melchizedek was actually a Christophany, which means actually Jesus actually came down. Like that was actually Jesus that entered time and actually came down, had communion with Abram, and Abram gave him a tithe. I want to go where every pastor has a little tendency of fear to tread, and that's the tithe. You want to give me permission to do that? Say, go there.
Go there.
Oh, there's about 30% of you there. That's all right. It's all right. You see, the tithe was before the law. I personally believe that the tithe isn't a law. That's just what I personally believe. But it's a token of covenant relationship. It's an invitation into a piece of a covenant of honoring the high priest and the high king. So Abraham sat down with Melchizedek, took communion. See, Revelation 13:8 says, the lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. It's talking about Jesus there. See, we don't understand time fully. But they're having communion. See, Abraham lived a different way. His faith was considered righteousness. This is all New Testament talk here. How many see that? That's all New Testament talk. Melchizedek, see, he was a high priest and he was a king. No one had that honor of a true high priest and a king until Jesus came back. See, there's four types of giving in the Bible. There's the order of Melchizedek, which was first mentioned, the first mentioning of a tithe. There's a Mosaic tithe, which was under the law, which in my opinion, I believe that the Mosaic tithe, the tithe that was in that law, it was actually God, by God's grace, he was just like, okay, and here's a key. Here's the key. Under this law, I want you to partake in the blessing that can come from the tithe. Third was when Jesus said, you know, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and God to what is God's. And then fourth, in the New Testament, the entire church gave everything to the apostles and put it at their feet. Once again, I want you to hear my heart here. The tithe, my opinion, I say it with my opinion because there's differing opinions, it's not a part of the law. It's an invitation to honor what? The high priest, who's Jesus. The high priest and king, who's Jesus. Melchizedek, high priest, king. Communion, Abraham gives him the tithe. Jesus, high priest, king. So I just want to prove that to you here. Hebrews 5:10-12 says this, speaking of Jesus, so I'll just say Jesus. Jesus was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you are no longer trying to understand. In fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. How many know this is solid food? Covenant relationship is solid food. Hebrews 7 says, this Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Then also king of Salem, which means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. I hope you're getting this. This is God. I've heard this teaching before, and I felt like God bring me to it, and it has really rocked my world. See, there's people in this place even that they tithe faithfully. I wouldn't be saying this right now if Lake Mount hasn't been more blessed than ever. To be honest with you, we have more tithes than we've ever had. Come on. Thank you, Lord. We're in an amazing place because of the faithful people of this house. So I'm talking to two people, people that already give and people that don't give. To the people that give, understand that you're not just doing it because that's the right thing to do. You need to start putting faith behind your tithe. You need to start realizing there's actual blessings. You're already doing it. But there's actually blessings attached to that in which you can actually pull down from heaven. Come on. For people that don't mishear me, there's like I said, it's no law. Once again, you can live that life. You can go into eternity. What I'm talking about is taking our salvation, our sanctification, all these different things, going through the door of the new covenant, who's Jesus, and accessing all the promises throughout the Bible. And this is just one key. One key. The tithe is just one key. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's good. If the band would come up. In Malachi, it talks about how the tithe rebukes the devourer. A lot of people say, well, you know, it's a prophet, it's the Old Testament. Actually, at the start of that chapter, he's actually talking about the coming of Christ. And then he jumps into talking about the tithe. It rebukes the devourer. I think there's people in this room that you don't, if I may boldly say, you don't understand that the tithe rebukes the devourer. What does that mean? It means if you feel money just slipping away, do you know what I'm talking about? You get to the end of the month, and all of a sudden you just realize, like, something has devoured my money. It's just devoured it. I don't even know where it went. I even budget, and I don't know where it went. It rebukes the devourer. In other words, there's times in my life, and this is something I've lived, there's times in my life, I remember when I was out west, you know, me and Crystal's combined income, it was actually opposite. We couldn't figure out how we did all the things that we did in that year. But that was the year that we gave over and above, like through a percentage, is the most we've ever given in our life. I think combined income, we were about $50,000. We bought a house, bought a car, paid off $25,000 in debt. I don't know. I'm just telling you, it's real. So this is an invitation. That's all it is. There's so many keys in all of these covenants that you start reading through them and you're like, well, that's Abraham. Well, that's David. That's, you know, that's so-and-so. And there's all these covenants. And it's like, we can tap into those covenants. All of his promises are yes and amen in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. Christ has given us access to those covenants. But one of those keys of the covenants is coming to Christ, the high priest, the high king, and giving a tenth of our goods. It's just real. We're a part of his bride. So we do bring the tithe to the house. We bring the tithe in not just of some false obligation. We bring it in because we want to come into covenant with God. We also want to come into covenant with this church and what it's doing. Pastor Matt's in Toronto right now, sowing seed. Partner with this church. When you do, you understand you're sowing seed in Toronto. Follow me? I'm going to Manitoba this week. When you partner with this church, you're sowing seed in Manitoba. There's a partnering that takes place. I couldn't go to Manitoba without you guys. That's just fact. Let's get real, real. You're sending me. That's why we bring it up so much. Well, Pastor Matt's here, Pastor, because you're sending him with the blessing of this house to sow seed into different provinces, to different people groups, to take the anointing that's on this place and push it to the uttermost. It's good. Come on, stand to your feet. Say this after me so I can have a good afternoon. Pastor Jonathan, it's okay that you talked about money. Come on. We try to pretend it's not a real thing, but you know what? Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, maybe 7 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, we're getting up to do what? Make some money. You might get home, there might be bills on your table. Oh, we break and cancel that. There are probably checks on your table. We're just ready to bless you. Come on, it's just a real thing. Some of you, the next 50, 60 hours of the next 7 days are going to be taken because of money. It's real. So we need to know how to steward it. Come on, let's pray. If you feel comfortable, just lift your hands right now. Come on, lift your hands all in this room. God, we don't just want to be average Christians, Lord, and sneak into eternity, God. But we want to access every part of every promise that's in the Bible, Lord. We know, Lord, there's keys to those promises that unlock blessing, favor, and destiny, God. And so whether it's just one small key of tithing, Lord, we just walk in that. Not out of an obligation, not out of a, you know, some legalistic mindset, Lord, but actually walking in a intimate covenant with you and your church, Lord. Yeah, God, I just feel, Pastor Becky mentioned this in the first service. I feel like God needs to just break off some poverty mindsets. I'll tell you what a poverty mindset does. It makes you make wrong decisions because you think there's no more money coming. You go out and buy that horrible car just because it's the cheapest thing you can find and you end up dumping thousands of dollars into it. That's a poverty mindset. But a poverty mindset keeps your hands closed and not realizing that the more you give, I'm not just talking about the tithe, I'm talking about offerings, I'm talking about blessing your neighbors, I'm talking about coming into this season right now where there's families that can't put a turkey on the table, there's family that they can't buy presents, and God's inviting you into the opportunity to bless people. Why? So he can actually fill your life with so much more. I just had a picture of a funnel. And someone's just opening kind of like this lever that's just going to allow just finance to expand the kingdom. And I don't know how. Last week we had $10,000 come in over and above for missions. That's how faithful this family is. God, we thank you for that. But I just see this funnel where it's just like someone's just gonna open that. They already have finances and they're just gonna start sowing strategically different areas. And God's just gonna replenish it. He's gonna replenish it. He's gonna replenish it. Businessmen are going to come around you and just say, "What? How did you even do that?" I don't know. I just keep giving, it keeps coming back. So God, we just thank you, Lord, coming into this season. You're putting people on our heart right now, even as we speak, Lord, that we can bless, Lord. Or maybe you're putting on our heart just to give an over and above offering as Lake Mount reaches out in different ways and hampers and all these different types of things and tries to bless the unfortunate families that are around. God, we just pray right now you would quicken our Holy Spirit and break off that poverty mentality that there isn't more finance coming, God. Wow. If you're a business owner, put your hand up. I apologize to the people that are in business. I'm not a business owner, but put your hand up. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of work that comes into putting in a business. Would you just gather around these men right now and women? Come on. Come on, we got some time. We ended just on time. Come on, gather around. Don't be shy. There's a degree and a level of stress that is carried by these people. God, we just pray over the businesses of Lake Mount, Lord. Lord, grace them right now. Grace them right now. Grace them right now. Wow, I'm just feeling to go there. Who else is in commission sales? Just commission sales. Put up your hand right now. If another hand's gone up, just surround them. Come on. So God, we just pray right now as these faithful people work so hard, God, we just pray right now you would just multiply the blessing on their lives, Lord. That not only that they would be a blessing to this church, but they'd be a blessing to this community, Lord. That their business alone would just stir up the economy, God, that would be blessing beyond that. Lord, we just pray that even just the favor that's on their life, Lord, would just begin to attract people to them, other business people, Lord, that would just come to them and just say, what's going on? And that there's just principles of giving that would just rock people's lives, Lord. We just pray for that. God, we pray for just employees just surrounding these people, Lord. Put the employees that you want in their lives, Lord. Hardworking employees that see their heart to not just be a business, but to reach people, to bless people. God, we just pray for contracts right now, Lord. We just access that blessing, that favor, Lord, that you had on Abraham. We just pull that down in Jesus' name. We just call that forth. We thank you, Lord, that you're faithful. Amen. Is that good? Is that okay I did that? If the prayer team would just come. If you need prayer for anything, whatever it may be, like I said, this is not a heavy, this is not, you need to tithe. This is just an invitation to tap into God's covenant. But beyond that, if you need prayer if you need needs to be met during this season, just come forth. If you just feel like even that poverty mentality where you just always feel like there's not enough and you're scared of almost tomorrow, come on up. If you just need prayer for vision for your life, whatever it may be, come on up and receive prayer. Is that good? Have a blessed week. Have a great week. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.